The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN. Un partido de números. Right here at Circa Sports Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, however you're taking us in, YouTube TV. We appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten joins us. Zach Cohen joins us as well. We'll look at some NFL awards. Oh, the awards, Kelly. I think we all came to a good agreement yesterday. There aren't enough awards to go around.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem. Let's kick it off, though, with Will Hill. Not only is the host of his own podcast, the Should Have Bet More podcast, not only is he the star of the Chris Felica Bear Bets podcast empire over there at Fox Sports and the Megapod.
VSiN's favorite guest as well.
VSiN's favorite guest, but, and Will, admittedly terrible at promoting this, is also the host of Live Bets Saturday and Sunday, co-host of both of those shows right here at the network. Ladies and gentlemen, at not the Will Hill on Twitter. I don't know what that is. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, man?
Guys, what's going on? Yeah, Live Bet Saturday, Live Bet Sunday, a show I almost got to do with Kelly once. So that was, you remember that, right, Kelly?
Almost, yeah. Almost.
Let me guess. Almost. Kelly big-timed you at the end? He's like, I'm out of here. I'm a weekday guy. See ya.
Talk about it off air.
You were remarking off air, because I like it when you remark, you said 57 already on this Vikings-Lions game that caught you. By the way, we see some 58s now offshore.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of which, Sunday these lines started to pop up, and I was on with Dustin, and he said 52.5, that's low. I didn't bet it. And then last night during the game, as Detroit's just getting shredded defensively, I was like, man, how do you make this total high enough? And I think Bear in our group chat, one of our group chats, was saying, it's 52.5, but I only see a 53.5 at FanDuel. I don't want to bet the bad number. Well, that bad number is not that bad because it's 57 now. 57's high. I don't know how you go over, but I don't want to be sitting there with an under ticket either. And I guess we'll just start with that game where I actually think, boy, I'm afraid to say this out loud. I actually think Minnesota's going to win, and I think Minnesota's got a good chance to go to the Super Bowl here. I think by far the worst unit on the field Sunday night is going to be the Detroit defense. And Minnesota's really good on offense, really good on defense. And if you're Detroit, I think you hope for a turnover or hope, both these coaches are just going to go for it like madmen on fourth down. So maybe that 57 isn't, high enough. Maybe we are looking at like a 34-31, 31-28 type of game. But I just think Minnesota is going to go up and down the field on them. I think their defense is more likely to piece together a stop or two. And I think Minnesota is going to be sitting here with the one seed a week from now.
Will Hill, Minnesota Vikings fan, saying out loud, he thinks the Minnesota Vikings may be headed to the Super Bowl. When has that ever got wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? I don't see how it could.
The thing about the 57 or the 58, wherever it's landing right now, Dan Campbell, okay, there's the Detroit defense and there's the Detroit offense, which seems unstoppable, right? So that's obviously front and center of this. But there's also the matter of that they go for it on fourth down, fourth and short meaning 4 yards and fewer, maybe even more yards than that, almost automatically at this point. And that is the rub, right? So a lot of people interpret that as, you could really interpret it both ways. One, they matriculate the ball down the field. They fail to get the fourth down. That's going to lean towards the under then. On the other hand, if they go for fourth down on their own side of the field and they fail, Minnesota has a short field. Right. Or if they keep converting the fourth downs, both of those two things lean to the over. So you can't really make a judgment about that.
It's a good distinction. I would still say it favors the over more because how often do we say, hey, fourth and two, midfield, the worst thing for an over is a punt.
Yes.
Because, you end up with no points. The other team gets pinned inside their own 10 unless, they kick the ball into the end zone for a touchback and Fezzik, Texas, all going crazy that they should aim for the 7, not for the 2.
so great.
But that kills your over when they punt fourth and two from midfield. When you go for it fourth and two from midfield, either get it and you're in position where, hey, you're in a good spot to score, or you don't get it and the other team's in a good position to score. So I do think the aggressiveness does slightly favor the over. But, hey, if you start passing on, 38-yard field goals and you go for it and you come up empty, obviously it is a little bit of a double-edged sword. As long as Minnesota gets all of the fourth down conversion, Detroit gets none of them, I'll be happy.
Boy, that's one of Fezzik's greatest hits is that, you used to teach that you stand on the 10-yard line and then you let the ball go behind you down. No one does that. People are catching the punts on the 2. And the other thing is what Will said is like, when the punts go caroming into the end zone, Fezzik is convinced that these punters can perfectly aim it for the 7-yard line, and they're just choosing not to do it, which is awesome.
With the punters or the kickoffs?
The punts.
Punters.
Oh, so we have punters. Moved on from the kickoffs finally, at least.
Yeah, when I went on the kickoffs.
Okay, that was a big thing beginning of the season.
He's adamant you got to aim for the 7, and these guys are aiming for the 2, and they're being selfish. You got to aim for the 7. That's Stats one of his hogs. New ones. His other new one is receivers dropping balls and like taking their eye off the balls. And he says, you got to focus on it. He goes, any of us would catch these balls. Bad coaching, bad fundamentals. So for more on this, go to Fezzik's punt pass and catch clinic, and it'll teach you all about it.
And then we want to rile him up. We just say, hey, do you hear what Rass just said?
Receivers right dropping balls. Can you imagine? How many times do you think it would take you to catch a pass from an NFL quarterback? Like, I feel like all my fingers would just shatter immediately.
If you're far enough downfield, you'd be all right.
Oh, okay.
Okay, anything else in Week 18, or what do you like best in Week 18?
I don't know what number you put up for a Browns team total, but, I mean, how do they score? And I'd be willing to lay the 17.5 with Baltimore. I mean, that to me, that game has 34-0 written all over it. If you're going to play DTR, look, he's just not an NFL quarterback.
No, he's not.
Anyone can, like, luck their way into a touchdown, 7 points, but how are they getting more than that, barring, you know, Baltimore turning the ball over? I think Baltimore will be motivated here. Baltimore's got extra rest. So to me, I remember a couple weeks ago when they played the Giants, I was actually watching the replay of that on the Hard Knocks, the AFC North. I don't know if you guys have watched that. I was like, man, they were so focused coming out of the bye. Why did I not bet the Ravens heavily here? Like, they were obviously going to beat the Giants, you know, name their score kind of game. I think this is a name your score kind of game. But other than that, you know, we were talking about the other day, there's just not that much up for grabs. Usually week 18, so much drama, so many scenarios. It's like the best week where you just sit there and you scoreboard watch. It just that really takes a lot of a hit this week, and especially with Atlanta losing to Washington, that kills more games. There's just not a lot of enticing games. So I'm not opposed to betting week 18. It's similar to preseason where, hey, you can get the information. If you can get ahead of things, it can be profitable. But to sit here on Tuesday and to give out a bunch of bets, I don't think it's a great week for that. And I don't think it's a good teaser week either, because there's just so much variance, like who's going to show up, who's not going to show up. I don't think this is one of these weeks where you can feel good about teasing a bunch of things.
I'll ask you the same that I asked of Drew last segment. What's your most outlying opinion right now heading into the playoffs?
I've been skeptical of Green Bay this whole time, where they just get this massive benefit of the doubt from smart people. I know, like, you love them and Fez loves them. To me, it's like they get a big benefit of the doubt because Love played well in like a playoff game and a half last year. I still remember them losing to the Giants late last year and like losing people's survivors. I think Paulie Howard had him in Survivor. Every time they step up, I mean, they got swept by the Lions. They got swept by the Vikings. They lost to Philly. To me, it's like in Green Bay. Now, if it's Green Bay, Philly round one, that's a bad matchup. That's a bad draw for both of them. But I'm just not completely sold. Green Bay is this, sleeper. Everyone makes them out to be. I've asked this question, I think, from you, people on my podcast. And I always get the same answer. If somebody disrupts a Philly-Detroit NFC title game, who is that team? Every single person has answered Green Bay. And you know what? I don't think that's the correct answer.
The correct answer is?
It's the team that's basically a coin toss to get the one seed right now. I think it's Minnesota.
Okay, I was just making sure. I thought you were going to say the Washington Redskins and Jaden Daniels and the person that no one can take off
the
field.
Can we just agree right now? Yeah. Can we just, just me and you talking, Vikings, Commanders, NFC title game, forget the rest of these teams, and we'll just play for a chance to go to Super Bowl. We just sign something right now? Is there a piece of paper?
That's right. Let's do it. Let's make a contract. Okay, college football, quarterfinals or not, what have you bet anything pre-flop?
I like the under Penn State, Boise. I think 54.5. I would love to sit here and root for Boise. I'm not quite Pete Futek level snobbery when it comes to college football. It's hard for these, mid-major type of teams to actually win these games. I can remember like a Georgia-Hawaii bowl game maybe 15 years ago. I was all excited, watch Hawaii, root for Hawaii, and they lost by 50-10. I don't know that they're going to move the ball. Meanwhile, Penn State, they won 38-10 last time against SMU, but if Jennings just runs for the first down instead of throwing it early in that game could have easily swung. If you look at the box score, Penn State, 18 first downs, 320 yards of offense. That's not a 38-10 box score. Granted, when you have, a million pick sixes, you don't need to move the ball as much. But I just think Penn State, they lack explosiveness. I think they'll do a good job defensively. So to me, this is like a 27-17 type of game. I probably like Boise team total under the 21 the best. Again, I would love to root for Boise. I can't stand Franklin. I think he's really hard to root for. He's just obnoxious with the media. He's bad in these big games. He's really arrogant. I hope Boise beats them. I don't know that they'll get enough offense. So I do like the under there. And, you know, speaking of the snobbery, I can't get past the uniforms with Georgia and Notre Dame. And I know this is a better Notre Dame team than usual. And it's not the vintage Georgia team. They don't have, you know, the NFL guys at receiver. They might not have an NFL skill player. I mean, it's just not the same team, but you're going to give Kirby Smart time to prepare. These are kind of similar teams, but Georgia just does it better. And Georgia's schedule is much, much tougher than what Notre Dame played. Georgia played the toughest schedule in the country. They played Texas twice, Ole Miss, Bama, Clemson. None of those games at Georgia, none of those games were home. So that's a brutal schedule. Meanwhile, Notre Dame, it's a lot of, you know, Northern Illinois, Navy, Army, Stanford, Louisville. I just think Georgia's more battle-tested. I will go with the pedigree here of Georgia.
I'm with you on Georgia. Got that ticket to win it all on the Bulldogs. Don't know if they get there, but I think they win this one. Okay, last thing, last 30 seconds. Open-ended question. Is there any bet that you have in any sport randomly that you haven't shared with us?
Probably. Nothing that I can really think of right now.
Baseball beyond MVP and Shohei, anything?
No, haven't gotten involved yet. Started to look at the win totals, but it's just, you know, too early. I don't think any of the numbers are that intriguing. So no. Have you bet any baseball?
Nothing. White Sox 49.5 under.
Oh, that's not bad. I know a lot of people are making the case for the over just because they blew a lot of games late, and look how low can you make it? I'll give you one, a final one. Damond Williams, the Washington quarterback for today, 9-1 to score 2+ touchdowns. True freshman quarterback. He's starting. Very athletic. That's a fun little sprinkle. I think he's 12-1 to score the first touchdown, too.
I knew we could get to one. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it, man. Happy New Year.
See you guys. Happy New Year to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill, everybody, at not the with two E's, at not the Will Hill. Coming back with Zach Cohen and all his bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest. And that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets of beating the book. Jesse Welch tweeted something about you, Kelly. He said, Kelly said something interesting about Purdy in the first segment. Now, do you think he's pointing that out because you say so many interesting things that he had to pinpoint it, or that it's such a rare occurrence that he's like, oh my God, Kelly said something interesting in the first segment about Purdy?
Obviously, but, the first one, Gil. Obviously.
He said he called Purdy a gunslinger. The only comp I can think of is a smaller version of Philip Rivers. Fair. And so others chimed in. Pat Montefort said Rich Gannon, perhaps, as a comp.
I don't know if I have a perfect one for Brock yet. I'm still figuring it out because we've seen it. We've seen him open things up a little bit more this year. What is it, like 10 yards per attempt is what he's averaging or something this year? I mean, he's pushing it downfield.
Jason McKinney says about our contest with the crew. He says, I'll throw in dinner at Texas Roadhouse for the winner of your contest. Minimum even odds. There we go.
Okay.
Listeners throwing in a prize for that. This is from
Texas Roadhouse. Nothing wrong with that. Solid meal.
I've been in one. Greg Peterson's stomping grounds. Greg Peterson is there right now, I'm sure.
Is that like his go-to?
Oh, he loves Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, it's Brian Ortega has one of those. I'm trying to forget. What's the Australian one?
Outback.
He loves Outback.
No. Outback Steakhouse.
He'd do a show like every weekend. He'd be like, I'm going to stop by Outback on the way home.
Bloomin' Onion. Cowboys underscore Cubs one primetime. Yo, hey, man. I know you've been busy lately, which is likely why I've not yet received my Christmas future bet from you. I'll put my $100 on K. Michael freaking Bin Laden to become the all-time leader in numbers game shows produced. Lock it in. Happy 4th of July. There you go.
That has to have hit already, right?
He's like, I did not receive.
Parles in charge still got more under his belt than me?
I don't know. He was the Grover Cleveland of it, so maybe. I don't know. You're what are you, like a year and a half now? 2 years? What are you?
Over two and a half.
Wow.
2.5 years.
You might have the record.
Yeah.
You're getting there.
Step aside, Parles.
Primetime hasn't got it.
Give me my props back.
It's $100. He's like, I did not receive my paycheck. and then Brian M. Oh, about your thing about you catching an NFL pass from a quarterback. He says, if it's Kyler Murray, he says, I'm not catching the heater. But if it's Mac Jones, then I'm Jerry Rice.
That's a good one.
So there's that. Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Betting on X. Oh, that was a very heady move to grab Betting on X from Zach. He's part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can see all his work at VSiN.com, where he writes about multiple sports, including tennis. You betting tennis yet, Zach?
Yeah, I started overnight last night, so I was fully back in.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I will say, I will post picks to the Pro Picks page, and I have no idea when the matches are. The schedule is very confusing this time of year.
It's Australia. It's hard for us. Yeah, I haven't handicapped tonight's yet either. Okay. Australian Open, any bets yet?
So the two that I've put in so far, I put in Novak at +450. And I also took Rybakina 10-1 in the on the women's side. I just kind of think that if this is going to be a year where Djokovic wins a major, it's probably going to be the first one of the year. I think that having a few weeks off, actually a few months off to rest and recover and just kind of get his body ready for the first one of the year, this is probably his best shot. I also think, you know, this has been his best major in his career, and I also think he'll be pretty fired up having that Andy Murray partnership early on.
Okay, let's move to your other wheelhouse here, which is the National Basketball Association. Any bets today?
Yeah, it's a pretty slow night for me. I did take the under 217 in Thunder Timberwolves. That's just the matchup between the number one adjusted defensive rating team in the Thunder and number four in the Timberwolves. And I think that obviously Oklahoma City likes to play a little bit faster than Minnesota. But I do think that the Timberwolves have been winning out in the stylistic battle lately. They're 10-4 to the under in their last 14 games. And I just think this is going to be a game where, you know, it's a half court battle with both teams really digging in.
Okay. That's it for the NBA tonight. Slow night. Yes.
I have a parlay on the website that, you know, I'd rather just tease it and make you go over there.
Okay. But
and I do have Damian Lillard to go over 25.5 points in this 3 p.m. Eastern game against the Pacers.
No Giannis? You think no Giannis, Zach? Is that what you're thinking?
I think that there's a good chance Giannis misses it, but even if he doesn't, I think it's going to be a really high-scoring game, and I think that the Pacers just don't really have an answer for Lillard, which we've seen over the last couple seasons, and especially with Aaron Nesmith out. I think that's their best guard defender that they have, and yeah, there's no really good answer for him right now.
All right, Zach, let's make this commitment. As the NFL winds down in January and then obviously into February, let's ramp up the NBA props segments when we come on. Let's do that heavy.
Let's do it.
People love the props in the National Basketball Association, and I know you do. I know you have them every day.
Thank God the NBA card is terrible tonight, because it is one of those days you got to think about, Zach, right? Where you're like, I don't know how guys are going to handle like New Year's Eve plans afterward, but the card's absolutely horrible. I've got nothing tonight.
Would the NBA?
I just don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
Would the NBA have taken you off New Year's Eve plans?
I don't know. Like back East Coast, like back in the day.
Really, the NBA would have.
No.
Oh, okay.
I still would bet it.
Oh, no, I know. But I'm saying, I thought you said.
I'm saying I'm worried about guys planning ahead. You know, like what James Harden got lined up for tonight or something like that.
Oh, I see
that,
what
you know?
You're saying.
Let's get this game over with and get to the real fun tonight, you know?
Gotcha. Okay. To the National Football League. Did you bet anything in Week 18?
I took the Bengals when it was 2.5. It's gotten away from that now. I just kind of think that is a game that Pittsburgh might not have to win. And I think that obviously the Bengals do have to win it. So I just think a different motivation there is going to be enough. Oh, I see it as that's -1.5 now. I do think Cincinnati is a good bet in that game. Even if Pittsburgh does play, you know, I just don't think that their offense is good enough to keep up with the Bengals right now.
Okay. That's the only one in Week 18. That's all you bet.
I have not put it in yet, but I do think I'm going to be on the Vikings against the Lions. Wow. I think that Minnesota team is just so well coached on both sides of the ball. I can't see them losing to this depleted version of the Lions. I mean, I've been going against Detroit the last couple of weeks, thinking that teams are going to take advantage of that defense, but I think that Minnesota is the team that actually will be able to do it.
How the tide has turned on the sentiment for the Detroit Lions. A lot of it injury induced, but that's interesting.
It's more a Vikings play. I love the way they're coached. I'm actually hoping the Jets hire Brian Flores.
Brian Flores got to be a top candidate once again, one would think.
Yep.
If he can out-interview both Rex Ryan and Ron Rivera, keep that in mind. That's what he's up against, if that's the case. Okay, to the college football quarterfinals. Anything for you there?
So I laid 10.5 with Penn State, but I would still lay it at the number that it's at now. I just think that it's going to be very difficult for Boise State to get that ground game going against Penn State. The Nittany Lions are sixth in the country in rush EPA per play allowed. I just have a really big defensive line, a well-coached defensive line. I think they're going to be able to keep Genty from hitting home runs in that running game, and I don't trust Maddox Madsen at all in the passing game. I think that obviously people are going to look to that Oregon game early in the season, but I wrote it throughout the year when I was writing up the Heisman Trophy. Like, people just forget the early portion of the season, and that Oregon team was terrible to start the year, and I just don't think it's anything like the one that we've seen now. So I don't put a lot of stock in Boise being able to just run all over that defense. And I just kind of think that Penn State is hot at the right time, and I know that there's the James Franklin stuff out there, but I think that that applies to the games against Ohio State, Michigans of the world. I don't think it applies to, you know, Boise, a top 10 team just that came out of a group of five. I think it's against the bigger programs that have more talented recruits than him. That's when he fails to, you know, rise to the occasion.
Let me ask this of you, because we, you know, we're always asking about individual games and different kinds of bets that tend to be more, you know, sort of granular. Let's just talk about, you know, the thing that your random friend would ask you about. Who do you think wins the college football title? Who do you think meets in the Super Bowl?
Man, I think for the college football title, I think it's going to be the winner of Oregon, Ohio State. I did put a bet on Notre Dame to make to win the championship because I just think they're going to get there, but I don't think they're going to win that game. I was just hoping to have an opportunity to hedge later on, but I do think the winner of Ohio State and Oregon, I think that that could easily go either way, like it did last time when they met Eugene. It wouldn't surprise me if the Buckeyes end up winning this time around, but I think that those are the two best teams for sure.
Yeah, we have, I mean, a lot of people feel that way, right? That we have a de facto national title game in the quarterfinals tomorrow, which again, I go back to, couldn't the committee have figured this out a little better with the seeding? Like, I mean, that was probably, they'd like to, I think if you gave them truth serum, they'd like to have that one back. NFL right now, and this is fascinating to me because I think we'd get, as many people as I would ask this question of, I'd get that many answers. Who is in the Super Bowl?
I have flipped and flopped a lot. I went into the season thinking it was going to be Eagles. I do now think it's going to be the Vikings. I know that that's, it just goes back to what I said before. I don't think there's a team that is better coached on both sides of the ball than Minnesota right now. And I think that that's going to matter a lot in these NFC playoffs. So I think it's going to be the Vikings, and I think it's going to be the Chiefs. That was not an answer that I had before the season either. I'm tired of going against Kansas City. I'm sure that you got the same sentiment from a lot of people. I don't want to bet anymore.
I have only two matchups, which is Ravens Lions and Chiefs Lions, and I love my Ravens and Chiefs side, but I am not feeling good about the Lions side. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I respect what Zach says because I think the coaching staff's amazing with Minnesota. I think we're putting Sam Darnold in the Hall of Fame a little too quick here.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm still a little uneasy about that.
I'm not like a big Darnold guy. It's the coaching staff. I think that they can get anything out of him.
I heard that you put him in the Hall of Fame, Zach. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Happy New Year, man.
You too. Happy New Year, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. Jason Weingarten as the Betts Cavalcade continues.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN today. Use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy and gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSiN. Promo code VSIN 500. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Kelly never gets to read some tweets. You said you had a tweet there that you because I didn't get the one I think you're talking about. What did you want?
Oh, no, it was just it was a nice text from Steve Fezzik.
Oh.
I think it was meant to be nice.
Was it both of us who got it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a little good.
It was basically said, it was kind of another one of those, I don't know if it was a compliment or not, of Kelly talks just the right amount.
So great.
Like anymore, he wouldn't be able to listen.
Fezzik is so charming, isn't he? It's so charming. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, it's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Still a little upset at the 49ers last night. I think I agree. Kelly talks a good amount. He's no AJ Hawk as the
no AJ Hawk. Yeah.
No AJ Hawk.
Jeez, I appreciate it, man.
AJ Hawk with a very menacing countenance on that show.
Oh yeah,
McAfee show.
Like bringing his shot, and he's just like
that with his face. Purdy. The Niners couldn't. They weren't stopped. Except for end of half, right? They weren't stopped into the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, Brock Purdy threw two really bad picks to Kirby Joseph, who's had himself a fantastic year for the Lions. And that was kind of all she wrote. And by the way, Moody missed field goals. Like if Moody makes kicks, maybe it's even a different score.
Yeah, that was frustrating too. Is like I said on Twitter yesterday, I really think the 16 games in 17 weeks was the perfect sort of schedule, and adding this extra week and taking away a preseason game, we just added an extra preseason game on the back end of the season, which I really dislike because I much prefer a fourth preseason game because the betting is so good for the preseason. We threw away a week of good betting for a week of bad football.
Well, guess what, Jason? I may be breaking news for you, but we're going to get more regular season games and even fewer preseason games. It's coming.
That's a real bummer. The preseason gold mine is you know, drying up.
Well, I also feel like we kind of alluded to this with Will earlier segment, but Will and I definitely had this, or in our group text, we had this conversation off air, which is, I feel like, because I mentioned this about fantasy football, which is, I think fantasy football owners need to move their championships up a week because there's a lot of shenanigans that are happening now, even week 17, let alone week 18. And I feel this way about the NFL regular season. Had the Bengals not beaten the Broncos, we would have nothing going on this week other than seeding, right? Like it would have been a week 18. Usually there's a lot of stuff going on week 18, play, you know, make or miss playoffs. If that had happened, and by the way, we went through yesterday how it should have happened, probably, maybe should have, but could have, you know, so already this week 18 is really about jostling for seeding. Now I do want to bring up one of those, which is the Rams. I bet the Rams plus 3 against the Seahawks. I thought the Rams should be favored. I look up at the screen here during this show. It is now 3.5. You even said you saw 4 somewhere now. The Rams plus 4. And so I made this point yesterday as well. Sometimes as handicappers, we tend to overrate teams when it comes to seeding. So as much as I sat here and said, hey, look, the Rams don't want to fall to the number 4 seed, because then they'll have to host the loser of the Lions-Vikings game. Is this sort of indicating that the Rams may sit people? What is this saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you're seeing 3.5, 4, it would definitely indicate the market thinks that the Rams are likely going to be sitting people. I think the Rams are going to be sitting people, or at the very least, you know, you might get a drive or two to start the game, like a preseason game, and then, you know, wholesale turnover and backups. Do I think the Rams backups can still beat the Seahawks at home and you know, keep them in that 3 seed? Yeah, maybe. Do I think I'm going to bet on it? Probably not. Market's saying that, you know, they're probably going to, like I said, they're probably going to have people out of the game. I don't know how serious they're going to take it. I would prefer the Commanders in round one. I mean, the fact that the Rams are even hosting a playoff game, I'm so surprised, because there were literally moments early in the season, the first couple weeks, where the Rams were drawing so dead. I'd be watching the Rams game with my girlfriend and I'd say, if they don't make this first down, if they don't score on this possession, if they don't win this game, they're going to probably trade Matt Stafford this next weekend, or they're going to trade Cooper Kupp. They're going to tear the team down. They were a loss away from wholesale, you know, trading before the deadline several times, and to bounce back to have a home playoff game is extraordinary.
Because we also said, right, they're the team that you know, went for broke to win the Super Bowl, mortgaged the future. We thought they'd never sniff the playoffs ever again. And here they are, not only making it, but again with a home game.
Yeah, pretty excited about that. Nothing like playoff football. The only unfortunate thing, like you mentioned, is you look at this week 18 and I just don't know what to wrap my head around. How do you handicap half of these games? And that's not to mention, I don't know how much you've sort of covered the outsized favorite bias that's kind of happened this year in the NFL.
Can we show that? Do we have that Evan Abrams tweet? This is amazing. Yeah, go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
I mean, I've heard from multiple books, this is the worst year they've had in 20 years. You know, this is the worst time they've had in their careers, sort of thing. And then I talk to other bettors and they're saying, well, I'm having a terrible season too. I'm not crushing the NFL. So I'm curious to all these people that are just dominating the NFL each week. Maybe you're just betting favorites and parlays of favorites, but
well, we
you know, I'm hearing
We see it in Survivor, right? The fact that, you know, there was 5 weeks of carnage, unprecedented carnage to begin the Survivor season. And then the last 5-6 weeks, unprecedented stagnation until the Giants finally upset the Colts outright this weekend. Evan Abrams, our buddy, Evan H. Abrams, who used to be at ESPN, now I believe he's at The Athletic, favorites of 6 points or more are 29-1 straight up since week 13, with that Giants upset of the Colts, outright upset this past week, being the only exception. He goes on to, this is Ben Fox now, our buddy, who said NFL favorites 35-13 against the spread, 73% over the past 3 weeks. What a stretch for the public. There it is.
Yeah, that'll ruin a bookie's Christmas for sure.
Yeah, well, let's not shed a tear for them.
That's tough.
But I do want to say this one more time, and I know I said it earlier, but I just want to repeat this because I said it yesterday and I said it just moments ago, which is, this is the thing about week 18. This is why it's such an interesting handicapping puzzle. Because, you know, we do a lot of assuming that what we see as bettors and as fans is exactly what they want internally. Because it's obvious, right, quote unquote obvious to us, that the Rams would want to avoid hosting either the Vikings or Lions, whoever loses that game. Obvious to us, maybe not so obvious inside the Rams facility. Also with, you know, go to Pittsburgh. Someone made the point earlier, well, Baltimore plays earlier. If Baltimore wins that game against the Browns, which everyone expects them to do and handily, then the Steelers, do they have anything to play for? And I said, well, actually they do, because they would want to win and go and travel to play Houston in a 5-4, because Houston looks, you know, the least of the, in terms of menacing of those teams. You want to play Houston more than you want to play any of the teams that are seated above them, right? The Ravens being specifically the one that they would probably end up playing as a 6 seed. So, or they would play as a 6 seed. But maybe it's not so obvious to Pittsburgh. Maybe it means more to Mike Tomlin. If he sees Baltimore winning, be like, yeah, I guess we'll just play Baltimore. I'm going to sit everybody and I'm willing to play Baltimore. I don't know. That's the thing. None of us really know until the ball's kicked off on this weekend.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, I always love doing live betting, and, you know, you always have a chance to sit there and click the button. So maybe for me, at least, this will just be an opportunity to look at live and halftime stuff for week 18. Honestly not crazy about much.
Any college football quarterfinal preflop bets?
Well, I like Louisville today. That's the Sun Bowl. It's not a not a quarterfinal. I'm probably going to end up playing Penn State. Probably going to end up playing Penn State money line before post. If Boise beats me, then congratulations. They're gonna ruin my New Year's Eve. But I'll probably be asleep before midnight tonight either way. I'm a very boring person these days. I don't go out and party much anymore.
We're all such one trick ponies. It's unbelievable.
I will be at the Rose Bowl tomorrow, though. Best way to spend New Year's Day. If you've never been to the Rose Bowl, it's the best game. It's almost more fun than the Super Bowl.
Wave to Stormy if you see her there as well. Let me.
I got a funny story about that. I'll tell you about that off air. Ohio State. That's my play for the Rose Bowl tomorrow.
Over Oregon. Okay. If the Rams play the Commodores, you can hook me up with tickets. Yes.
You know it. We'll be there. I don't know if you'll be sitting next to me, but we'll be there.
He's gonna send me up.
You can't even sit next to Jason.
I get tickets in pairs of two, so it's like you might be a section over a row. Boo. I'm not. We'll be in the same section.
Boo. Thanks, Jason.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour after a numbers game, money moves. In for Stormy today, Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz. Takes two people to replace one. Stormy's at the Rose Bowl. She's got bigger things to do. We tried having Stormy on our college football extravaganza tomorrow, and Stormy says, sorry, I can't do it at the Rose Bowl. She was super apologetic. Wasn't she?
She is. Whenever I don't think she's ever turned us down for a guest spot before, so she felt bad.
Totally texting her and saying we're not friends anymore. prop points after that from 2 to 3 with John Hanson, and then Make It Rain with Scott Seidenberg sitting in for Adam Schein once again on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Check it out. Kelly and I are having this spirited conversation off air about city street names and stuff. Quickest way to lose you if I say meet me at 4th and H in D.C. It could be like three different places.
That is fascinating. Yeah. Actually, it's not fascinating. It's stupid. Angers me. I got so lost one time in D.C. in college.
Oh, it's the hardest city to get around. Yeah. There's no, if you're not from there, it's impossible to explain anything.
This is like before Ubers and stuff, you know. Oh,
you need to blame either L'Enfant or Benjamin Banneker, whoever you give credit to, for the laying out of D.C.
I don't even know what I did before Uber now that I'm thinking about it.
Jamie Recchio, we get tweets at Beatty the Book. Jamie Recchio, I absolutely love when Will Hill comes on the show. I love everyone on the show, but Will absolutely kills it every time. By far the funniest guy on the network. He is absolutely the funniest guy on the network. He's also the funniest guy in real life. And I always say it is my shortcoming that I don't bring out the funny in him on the Megapod because the other guy won't shut up. Sort of play that.
I mean, he's not. Yeah. We're all a little restricted here on air. He's definitely funnier than in real life.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah. Let's see. Chris Heath, he combined the Bama money line today against Michigan this morning, which is about to kick off, -650 with a bunch of two teamers last night, up to -1,000 this morning. What could go wrong? So I guess he's still alive. Bama. Huge two touchdown favorite against Michigan, two touchdown and some juice as well, and a hook, I believe. Jason Lewis, most shocking revelation during this segment. Jason has a girlfriend. That seems mean spirited.
Yeah, that's mean. That's mean.
Seems very mean spirited.
Plus, I feel like Jason works it once every couple months just to remind people.
That's right. He does throw it in there. And C. Spackler, talking about what we were talking about earlier, he goes, Kelly's shoulders must ache from needing to jump in and carry the show each day. Forced to overact and overtalk must be a daily grind. Hit the ball and drag Gil.
That's great.
Ladies, what do we have here? One more. And Ravi Squarebet Smith, all the best in the new year. All the best in the new year. He says, I love the show. Great guest, great information, but it has a special place in my heart because of our mutual love for this team. Thanks for another great year. Much love from Toronto, Canada. Thank you from Toronto, lovely Toronto. We're in Ontario. We have a huge listening audience. Thanks to Game Plus. Happy New Year to you, Ravi. By the way, the team he's talking about is the Washington Commodores. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to everybody. Have a great holiday. By the way, we're not out of here yet, but I just want to say this so I don't forget at the end of the show or we run out of time. And Jamie also knocks in. He says, Happy New Year, fellas. Looking forward to more yo-ing in 2025, the year of the yo on the Chinese calendar, if I'm not mistaken.
And it's only funny because Gil has to read it. That's what I love.
Steve Soriano, better be careful asking for tickets from Jason. He looks like a guy who extends an invite and you end up watching on a 12-inch TV out in the parking lot while he sits in the nosebleeds.
I like the. I get you a ticket. You might not be sitting next to me. Yeah. Like, what is he going to get you? Like, the.
I'm not
whatever's
going.
Left over?
I'm not going if I have terrible seats.
You're
going
to get the seat that's behind the column that you can't see anything about?
I'd be like, Jason, I'll go on secondary market by my own. Thanks.
That's great.
And Corbin, good morning, guys. Very best of luck to you two going forward in the new year. Let's hit some big numbers in 2025. Appreciate all the work you guys put in day out. You two are some of the best in the biz. Here to another year of ANG. Wow, thank you,
Corbin.
Happy New Year to each and every one of you out there.
Can I plug something quick?
Please, absolutely.
Long shots back today, baby.
Wow.
Golf season, the whole 7-week off season's over. Back to the grind.
Matt Brown,
Kelly whole Bindler. Crew. New Year's Eve.
Skull Long Shots.
You don't need to do anything else tonight.
Wherever podcasts are available. Podcast. Yeah, how are you spending New Year's? Listen to a golf podcast. Which brings us to our VEASAN Best Bets of the Day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VEASAN. I am on the Rams +3. Now it's not even a good number. Because apparently it feels like Sean McVay and the Rams are going to sit people. Why is this number moving?
I didn't double check that when you guys were talking.
Why is this moving?
Oh, it is mainly fours out there now. Wow.
Okay, so he must be sitting or someone knows something because there is no reason for this.
Gil, we did discuss at the beginning of the show that Geno Smith can make roughly $1.7 bajillion in incentives.
That can't be it. and I am on the Texans as well against the Titans. I didn't understand that line at all.
I still don't. I think I've read through his incentive stuff four times. I still don't know how much money he could actually make this week.
Millions,
but it is millions of dollars. Yes.
Kelly's on the Charge. He's on the Chargers laying the points, and he's got the, I think, the really most natural teaser of all this week. Broncos teased down to the 2, teased down to -2. Vikings teased up to 8.5 in their showdown with the Lions. Drew had 1 for this weekend. Actually, he had 2. He was on Houston as well, but he's also on the Chiefs +10. And I'm sort of with him on the Chiefs. Like, this is getting out of hand. I get it. It's not Mahomes. It's Carson Wentz. But 10? Okay.
Oh, I get it, too. I mean, I'm on the other side, tees down. Yeah. I got it in teaser range. I mean, two and a half and 10. There are many scores that game can land on.
Wilson Hilson. He's got the Penn State, Boise State under 54.5 tonight, the college football quarterfinals. And he's all about Georgia as well. By the way, too many people on Georgia. Starting to scare me.
Yeah.
Starting to scare me. Tim Murray. He's on Georgia. So am I. He's on Alabama Baylor moneyline parlay in the bowls prior to the quarterfinals today. And then he's on the Notre Dame Georgia under tomorrow, 45.5. By the way, college football extravaganza on the show tomorrow. Tim Brando joining us on the show.
Tim Brando, Chris Felica.
Felica doing double duty with us once again. Zach Cohen, he's on Penn State laying the points, laying the wood against Boise State tonight. He's on the Bengals in the National Football League, laying the point and a half against the Steelers on Saturday. And in the NBA tonight, he's got the T-Wolves Thunder under, not from down under, at 217. And then he's got Dame Time, over 25.5 points, a little prop on Damian Lillard. And then Jason Weingarten, Louisville today, in, again, a bowl prior to the quarterfinals. He's on Louisville, and he's on Ohio State, money line against Oregon in the Rose Bowl tomorrow. Those are our G-Bank best bets of the day. What a bets just windfall today on the show. G-Bank, again, the official bank of Visa. If you're serious about sports betting, you need the G-Bank Visa signature card. Most credit cards, street sportsbook, and gaming transactions as cash advances. Even when you put your own money on the card, G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases. So you're typically saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees right there. Right now, for a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at Visa.com/G-Bank. That's Visa.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Before we go, Kelly, and by the way, again, Happy New Year to all. May you be safe out there today. Looking for a prosperous 2025 NFL Awards. We have a few minutes.
Spend that extra money on the Uber. It's worth it.
That's exactly right. That's what Uber's there for. You know, to make money. Okay. MVP, your vote would be for?
Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson. Offensive Rookie of the Year.
We're just going by vote. My vote.
Your vote. That's just we're talking about.
Ends today, Josh Allen.
Offensive.
You know, he's going to play too.
Josh is playing.
They're going to play them for at least the beginning of the game. The starters.
See, we know. That's what I'm saying. We can go through what we think these teams' motivations are. We have no idea.
No idea.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Will Jaden Daniels be unanimous, or will someone want to be different and vote for like a Brock Bowers?
Yes, someone will.
Someone will want to be different and deny him the unanimous. Yes.
Yeah. And Brock Bowers is the guy.
Right, because someone will say, well, he's amazing.
Yeah, I think rightfully so.
I think he will be...
In fact, Gil, if I had a vote...
Oh!
If I had a vote... I'm not going to go that far.
I was going to say...
Are you allowed to do a tie?
I was ready to hurl an insult, is what I was ready to do.
Are the voters allowed to do a tie? I would send them in both number one.
You know how sometimes you insult someone, other times you hurl an insult? I was about to hurl one at you, yeah.
Bowers has been amazing. That team is so trash. He's breaking tight end records. It's incredible. But, of course, with what the Commanders have done as a team, I cannot shut out Jaden.
He changed a franchise.
Yes, he did.
God.
And I agree with Drew. To answer your question that you threw out earlier, I think any of those teams in the NFC could make the Super Bowl, and I would not be surprised.
You wouldn't be surprised if the Rams got to the Super Bowl.
No, because I think there are a couple teams, Rams, Commanders included in this. If their defenses just somehow come together at the right time, they turn into different teams. Buccaneers included in that.
Offensive player of the year, your vote.
Saquon.
Defensive player of the year. God, who?
I have no idea. Here's how I'm going to answer. Who cares? Who cares this year?
I'm totally
just give it
you.
To a Watt. A Watt. Unless, I don't even care if it's TJ.
Unless you have a bet, I don't know. Who cares? Defensive rookie of the year.
Verse, and we should have bet it forever ago.
Verse.
Yeah.
Verse. Comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year is Joe Burrow. Minus. How does this price keep coming down? Sam Darnold's going to win this thing, and I'm going to lose my mind.
He's not allowed to.
If Sam Darnold wins this one.
Based on the wording, he's not allowed.
We shouldn't be allowed to talk about betting.
Coach of the year, last one.
Coach of the year, Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. I think in the end it's Kevin O'Connell. Happy New Year to you and yours. Wishing you a prosperous and healthy 2025. We will be here tomorrow to kick it off.
That's right.
Enjoy. Money Moves next right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.